Welcome to Piedmont Arts. I'm Rachel Stewart. Confluence, the music industry conference of the Carolinas, returns October 8th through 11th for its third year. There will be daytime meetings and roundtables at the Union at Station West, and at night you can see some of the region's best musicians perform at venues throughout the city. Confluence brings together music industry professionals from around the country with the objective of showcasing and supporting what's special about the music ecosystem in our region, a region that's already produced some well-known artists such as DaBaby and is teeming with a diverse community of musicians spanning many genres. On this episode of Piedmont Arts, we talk with festival organizers Rick Thurmond of Charlotte Center City Partners and Liz Brigham of the Davidson College Hurt Hub. I want to thank you both for being here, and why don't we get started with the history of Confluence and why we ended up with this conference here in Charlotte. Rick?
So back in 2018, 2019, when we first started the Music Everywhere initiative, we did a lot of research to figure out what are the needs and opportunities here for the Charlotte music ecosystem. One of the things that we discovered or learned was that Charlotte was really well positioned to be a regional hub for not only music, but also the music business. And one of the recommendations out of that work was for Charlotte to host a regional music industry conference to bring in the music scenes and ecosystems from around us, from North and South Carolina, as well as create some critical mass to invite in national music industry leaders to come here, to speak, to participate, and begin to experience and learn all the great things we have going on here in the music scene.
Liz, maybe you could talk a little bit about what the music scene is like in Charlotte, and maybe compare if there is if you've noticed any changes.
What I've seen is we've had, I like to lovingly say, a merry band of misfits putting together this conference initially and reaching out to anybody that we knew in our networks that would be willing to speak, you know, kind of looking at what's the landscape of conferences in the music industry, from everything from South by Southwest to Music Biz and other types of conferences going on. We wanted to make sure that we could be distinctly Charlotte and distinctly represent the Carolinas and what was going on in the music scene in the Southeast. And so over these past 3 years, I think what's really stood out to me is a couple of things. One is just the really collaborative nature of musicians, independent artists, music industry professionals here in Charlotte, more that we've found over doing this too and having those conversations, that it's not maybe a more competitive environment that you would find in some of the bigger music cities all across the country and globally. It's one that is really looking to help support each other. So that's been, that collaborative nature has really stood out to me. And then secondly, that we've seen, you know, bands who have showcased at Confluence a couple years ago now are on the path, if they so choose, to, you know, kind of getting a record label or at least getting to play more gigs, not just in and around the Carolinas, but in much bigger cities like Chicago or New York or other things, that they have truly grown up with us. And then the third piece is more around music tech, as we've had two really significant, I guess, winners of statewide foundation awards for funding for their startups here in Charlotte, which I think we're punching above our weight class there, because, you know, we're a smaller kind of tech startup ecosystem and maybe a smaller music ecosystem. But going back to my point about collaboration and those willing to help, both Mark Eckert, who's on our planning committee, won a $50,000 grant through NC Idea Foundation, and Thomas Athey, for his startup Mesa, also won a $10,000 grant from NC Idea Foundation. So those are just two examples to show like the progress that, hey, we're able to not only cultivate these entrepreneurs of all different flavors and backgrounds, but we're also seeing that they're getting more widely recognized, as well as funding to progress.
Yeah, I might want to come back to that tech piece of it in a minute, because I noticed that that is a track, right? It's a specific track in the conference this year. But Rick, I wonder if you had anything to add about what you've seen change and maybe what you've learned in the last 3 years.
I'll double down on Liz's observations of the collaborative nature of the music scene here, and then add, and this is one of the things that stood out to me, I think, in hosting Confluence, is that real kind of indie hustle I would call it. If you're choosing to make music for a living in Charlotte, in some ways you're sort of choosing the indie path. It doesn't mean you might not end up signing with a quote major label, or in some cases relocating to a quote major music market. But a lot of times people are here because they want to be here and they recognize that. And we've oriented Confluence toward that. To answer your question of what we've learned is that there's a real independent spirit here in Charlotte and North Carolina. And so we've decided to lean into and nurture that. I think candidly, the first year we started this, we were having conversations about how do we get major labels, et cetera, here to be a part of the conference. And we'd still love to do that. But we also realize that there's a real independent spirit here, and that's really where we should focus. And so a lot of the speakers and companies that we've invited to participate are startups or independent record labels or independent music companies that are serving that market. So trying to bring that together here and agree with Liz, we've seen some bands play small showcases and go on to play much larger stages, including the Love and Life Music Festival here, which is really cool. I've heard several individual stories that I sort of hold dear, if you will. One I'll tell, I've heard versions of this story from multiple people. So you can take this one story and hold it as an example of a thing that is recurring. A young woman, singer-songwriter, she was active in music earlier in her life, took a break for whatever reason, and is re-engaging with that. And the industry's changed a lot, right? In the maybe the 7, 8 years that she stepped away. And so she attended the conference 2 years in a row, and one panel was about something called sync rights, which is when your music get licensed to appear in film, television, commercial, et cetera, which can be an important source of income for a musician that's somewhat passive. It's not contingent on you playing shows or touring or recording. And this was a new piece of the industry to her. And she went up to one of the speakers afterward to ask if she could connect. They had a follow-up conversation later. She said, "Well, are you looking for any music?" And she said, "Well, yes, I'm actually looking for a song that's about the concept of home." And she said, "Well, I have one." And so she shared it with her, and the speaker licensed it for her library. That doesn't mean that it has now been placed in movies and she's raking in the dollars, but she got introduced to it, an aspect of the industry that was new to her, that one gave her confidence, and two, gave her a different way to perhaps make a living from music. And I've heard versions of that story over and over and over. Those little stories add up to achieve that impact of just making it a little bit easier to be a professional musician in Charlotte.
Well, and that, you're speaking to the changes in the music industry, which are really drastic if you're looking at it from my viewpoint, who used to go out in the 80s and 90s to see bands and new musicians at that time. And so that brings me back to this question about the tech track. This conference is a lot about the business side, right, of the music industry as opposed to the music making side, even though you've got the showcases where people can come and perform. But talk a little bit about that, the tech side, the data that's so important now that I don't think people would have even thought about a few decades ago.
So one, we have debated in the previous 2 years where we would talk about AI. 2023, ChatGPT comes on the scene and just explodes, and now is a part of our everyday lives. We held off a little bit, but the feedback that we had received over the last couple of years was, hey, we really need to have open discussions about that. And this year, I'm excited because we do actually have multiple perspectives coming into the fore in our session tracks around not just the business side of it, which we absolutely do. We have a great session coming up with Sherry Hu, who is one of the nation's leading voices on investment in music tech and what are sort of the trends in startups and what have you. She's wonderful. But we also have a number of folks coming from Duke University to talk about, AI and the artists. And one of the people on the panel, Tiff Merritt, is a working artist, as well as, has a foot into the academic side and public policy side. So we're trying to have a very holistic view of what does it take to maintain the humanity of music and the artistry of music and not necessarily lose that to AI, but where are the places that AI and other technologies can be a helpful tool, whether that's in the actual production of music and music making, or if that's actually as well in the actually distribution of music, so the business of music there. So we're really excited about some of the other panels that we have going on around, you know, data and action, and how can artists, especially independent artists, take hold of their own relationships with fans. I think historically that has been somewhere where it's been relegated to the record labels and hasn't necessarily been in the purview of those artists. But now, again, with the kind of not just AI, but expansion and access to technology and the cost coming down as well, those artists now have a way to directly connect with some of their super fans and offer them more exclusive, you know, behind the scenes content or relationship building that they otherwise couldn't. And then similarly, now they have the data to help inform what are those fans looking for and how can they build more meaningful relationships, you know, in person now that they can see what some of their fans are doing online or in other spaces.
Yeah, that's also very interesting. I think we're all struggling with that where AI is concerned, right? How do we keep our humanity? You know, and I think that's really a big deal for artists of all stripes. We've got just a little bit more time, and I noticed there are a lot of Davidson connections since we're a Davidson radio station. What are these connections? What are some of the things you're looking forward to?
I think my surprises really is the number of music industry connections that exist with Davidson College. And I did not realize or expect that when we began to put this conference together 3 years ago.
I know Davidson is very proud to be an official sponsor this year and supporter of Confluence. So it's really been a wonderful way to bring people together. It has grown organically over time. And I think what we've learned is the more that we leverage our alumni connections and we make the asks, Davidson alums are more than willing to raise their hands and come participate. And we've had many others in the past as well, but this year is a banner year for participation for sure.
Yeah, George Ramsey with Bold Music.
Yes.
Yeah, just the list keeps going on and on.
We need more women though on that list.
We work on that every single meeting, Rachel. I'm glad that you say that. That is in pushing for diversity of speakers, not just from Davidson alumni, but across the board. That is something we talk about in every single meeting so that we have proper representation, really trying to cut across everything. So,
yeah, I actually didn't intend to ask this question, but the music industry has been male dominated since the get-go, pretty much. Is that changing at all?
There are a fair number of sort of women's affinity groups within the industry that are working together to try to change that. And I will applaud Liz. She holds us accountable, like she said, in every single meeting. If it looks like a panel is filling up with men, she's like, hold on, what can we do about this? Candidly, I think our speaker lineup is in a good way, not representative of industry leadership. But we can always do better. We're always pushing for that.
We just have a couple minutes left. So for each of you, is there one thing, you know, if somebody can only be there for one of the days or one of the things, what would you suggest?
I'm a little biased because I'm very excited about who we have as our Friday afternoon keynote speakers. I do have a little bit of a personal story here, but it will be a conversation between Roger Brown and Panos Panay. Panos is the president of the Grammys, the Recording Academy. I met the two of them through Davidson Connection about 6 years ago, and I flew myself out to Boston for an afternoon and pitched a startup idea that I had to them over lunch. They were so gracious to host me, and I've, you know, had back and forth with them over the years or so, and we just never could make things come together. But when we were able to finally lock in with Panos's very busy schedule, you know, when he knew that it would be Roger, one of his, you know, mentors and great friends interviewing him, he said, I'm there. So I'm thrilled about our Friday keynote. I believe that happens around 1 p.m. on Friday afternoon. But the entire program is wonderful throughout the conference, but that one really does stand out to me.
Totally agree with Liz. That will be a major highlight. So I'm actually going to highlight the nighttime stuff. I'm a huge fan of music and a live music fan. So that's one of my personal passions, is going out to see shows. And I'm really proud of the lineup that we've curated, both through a showcase application process and also bands that we've curated. And I think the experience is something that is unique, where you get one wristband and you can come and go as you please at multiple music venues, Evening Muse, Neighbor Theater, Snug Harbor, Petra's, iconic independent venues. And each night is walkable. So Thursday night is Noda, Friday night's Plaza Midwood, and they're within a block of each other. That's the experience I want people to have. Getting into our music neighborhoods, experiencing these venues. There's a pretty good chance if you see a band at Confluence this year, they're going to be playing a bigger stage in a year or 2 years. That's the piece that I hope people understand and maybe take a chance on experiencing, that artists you may not be familiar with, maybe haven't been to one of these venues. We're trying to make it easy on you to experience these artists. And sort of, hey, if this band's not for you, hop next door for the next one, or wait 20 minutes and the next band will be coming up. It is a really fun experience. And everyone I know that this is super fun.
Well, thank you both. I really appreciate you taking time to talk about Confluence. And it does sound like it's going to be great, useful, fun, all of it again this year. So good luck to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rachel.
That's Rick Thurmond of Charlotte Center City Partners and Liz Brigham of the Davidson College Hurt Hub. They are organizers of the Confluence Music Industry Conference that's happening October 8th through 11th at the Union at Station West. That'll steering the day, and then at venues across the city at night, when you can enjoy performances by many great musicians from around the region. Details are at confluencecarolinas.com. So what are you going to do for fun this week? Well, if you're not sure, Phil Vavra has some ideas.
Thanks, Rachel. Now that we're getting into October, we have a real chance of going outside and not sweating through our clothes in the first 10 minutes. Thank goodness, because there are plenty of reasons to leave the climate-controlled comfort of home on this edition of Fanfare. The Charlotte Symphony Orchestra will take to the high seas with Pirates of the Caribbean in concert at Ovens Auditorium in Charlotte on Friday, October 3rd at 7:30 p.m. and Saturday, October 4th at 3 p.m. Resident conductor Christopher James Lees and the CSO will bring the legendary score to life as the entire feature-length film plays on the big screen. North Carolina Baroque Orchestra Chamber Players will be in concert this weekend, performing works by Bach, Corelli, and others at the following locations: Friday, October 3rd at noon at Emmanuel Episcopal Church in Southern Pines, Saturday, October 4th at 3 p.m. at St. Bartholomew's Episcopal Church in Pittsboro, and Sunday, October 5th at 3 p.m. at Episcopal Church of the Good Shepherd in York, South Carolina. Cabarrus Arts Council presents internationally acclaimed jazz vocalist Jane Monheit at the Davis Theater in Concord on Saturday, October 4th at 7:30. Monheit will be joined by pianist Christian Tambor and his trio as they perform the timeless melodies of Rodgers and Hammerstein and other classics from the Great American Songbook. This past June, we lost music icon Brian Wilson. Max Music and Blumenthal Arts have an opportunity to experience Wilson's masterpiece in a whole new way with Pet Sounds Live at Booth Playhouse in Charlotte on Saturday, October 4th at 8 p.m. Through live music, narration, and visual media, you'll be transported back in time and into the studio to witness how the Beach Boys created their iconic 1966 album and many of their greatest hits. A few festivals to check out, including the Charlotte Coffee Festival, with over 25 coffee roasters, food, music, and more at Victoria Yards on East 7th Street in Uptown Charlotte, October 4th. A bit farther away, Anglophiles and gearheads alike will love the display of more than 100 new, classic, antique, and rare British cars and motorcycles, plus English tea, at the Myrtle Beach BritFest Car Show. That's also on October 4th. And it's that time of year again. The South Carolina State Fair returns October 8th through 19th in Columbia. You can expect the usual array of attractions, including carnival rides, midway games, and pig races. Also, plenty of live musical entertainment and deep-fried fair food. Have a great week. Don't forget your antacids. And be sure to check out my complete fanfare column for even more fun at WDAV.org. I'll talk to you next week. Rachel?
That's it for Piedmont Arts this week.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to hear all our episodes. You can do that at wdav.org/podcasts, at Apple Podcasts, and iHeart Podcasts.